You know, I was talking with, actually both of you guys, I talked to both of you guys afterwards, and they were just saying, like, have any of you guys been on a trip like this where you've gone out and you serve, you know, Habitat for Humanity, or any guys, okay, some of you guys have. If you get a chance to go, I really encourage you. But I feel like you come back from these trips, and we had this conversation with both of you guys, and you feel like, wow, there's stuff I learned on this trip, and stuff I did on this trip. Why are we not, like, living like this all the time? Right? Like, why, like, Andrew's talking about the community you guys had on the trip, and just, like, the openness. Why don't we, like, try to make that in store, you know? Like, in smaller groups and stuff like that, with friends, where we, like, are open with each other about our weaknesses and the things we're just learning and we're struggling. Talking about our relationship with God with each other. We're actually going to talk about that today. And then I was talking with Connor about, like, hey, why don't we, like, serve more regularly? I mean, we live in China, for goodness sakes, right? You know? Like, it's crazy. People in America taking these trips to China to serve the people of China. We live here, you know? So it's kind of like, wow, you know, there's orphans here. There's people with, like, sunflowers, like, you know, like the Osaka's do and stuff. And so there's things that we can do. And, yeah, so I really hope that kind of what God talked about you guys on these trips, something that we as a group can catch as well, you know? So let me pray, and then we'll jump into today's message. God, I just am really thankful for your goodness towards us. God, thank you so much for sending Andrew and Connor out this summer. I just pray that the lessons you taught them, the way you deepened their relationship with God, that would continue to grow. And God, as we dive into your word today, we seek to see what you have to say. God, I do ask that you would help us to be people who take you seriously, not people who just, like, float through life, kind of just feeling our way, but people instead who are disciplined, who say, I'm going to pursue God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Please bless the beginning of your words. Jesus. Amen. Alright, well, me and Katie had a great trip back to the States, but I met two really interesting people on this trip. So the first one was, we flew down to Orlando for my brother-in-law's wedding, and we were flying back, and I get on the plane, and I'm walking down to put my stuff in, and Katie's sister is right here, and she's like, Katie, like, what? She's like, he doesn't like kids. Like, what? She's like, that guy, he doesn't like kids. And I'm like, okay, cool. We've got two little kids, and Katie's brother and sister-in-law are also there. They've got three little babies. They have like five or six kids, all under the age of four. And they're all sitting like in the row with him or behind him. And there's like other kids besides us on this flight. It's like kidville on this flight. And I look over and the guy's like, and then he's like, I put music in and it like flares out and it's like Eminem or something really hardcore, like, you know? And I'm like, okay. And he's like, hey, run interference or whatever. I don't know. So I just like start talking to the guy. And I was like, hey man, I'm sorry. Yeah, I keep screaming. Or he looked at me and he's like, crazy. This is insane. This is ridiculous. Oh, okay. So finally we start talking a little bit more and he's like, sorry man. I just had to kind of control myself there. You know, I'm just going to respect you guys because I want to be respected, so I'm going to respect you. And, you know, I'm sorry I didn't lose on the kids, but, you know, yeah, there's respect. Okay, cool, man. So we started talking, and what did he say? How did it start? I kind of remember. He, like, I think he got a beer. No, I think he got a beer. And he was like, oh, do you drink? And I was like, nah, I hate beer, man. I can do wine once in a while, but I hate the taste of beer. And he's like, yeah, I hate the taste too. That's why I drink it. He said, I drink it because I hate the taste, because I used to drink like 2 liters of vodka a day and just get totally wasted every single day. So he's like, now I drink beer because it tastes bad. That way I don't drink as much. But I was like, whoa, this is a dude who been through a lot, right? Or at least, yeah. So we started talking, he started telling me, yeah, I've been in prison. He started telling me, yeah, I've like been addicted to drugs. He said, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. I went to rehab. I'm like, can I get back on track? And that sort of thing. So he asked me, he was like, hey, so you ever drink, you ever do weed? And I'm like, nah, man, I was raised Christian, we kind of don't do that. And then I grew up and I had no reason to try it out. So sorry. I have to ask. Do you, like, believe... Sorry, like... Do you believe, like, Jesus is the Son of God? He's like, yeah. Like, yeah, dude. He's like, okay, all right. Okay, I respect you, but... okay. So he started talking, and more he's like, okay, you know the Bible? 100% fiction. 100% fiction. He's like, granted, Christians, you guys, like, it works for people. Religion makes you a better person, right? But it's pure fiction. He's like, yeah, like, look at my life, man. I'm totally messed stuff up. I'm, like, working at Target, like, you know, whatever. He's like, you're a Christian? I bet you make a ton of money. And I was like, ha. And I was like, no, I don't make a ton of money, but I'm really happy with my life. I'm happy with my job. I have fulfillment. Like, he's like, yeah. And it was interesting. We just kept talking. We started talking about all this other stuff. Eventually, you know, we kind of got to a point where he was like, you know, he was like really honest. He was like, dude, you know, I see what you have. Why kids? I want that. But he can't because he's been addicted to alcohol. And so at one point, it was really crazy. Really crazy. So I was like, dude, you can just ask. This is crazy. If you are willing to explore, you can just ask and say, God, if you're real, would you show yourself to me? And as I'm saying, he's just interrupting me, like, no, stop, no, stop, no, don't say it, no. He's like, dude, I tried. I tried, I asked God for help. He's like, almost nothing. He's like, what do you have to say to that? What do you guys say about that? And I was like, Holy Spirit, help me! Like, what do you say, right? When someone says, I call out God and didn't answer, right? So I was just like, I didn't know what to say, and so I was just praying. And what I ended up saying was, you know, man, I have things in my life that I'm asking God about right now, where I called out for help for Him, and it feels like He's not helping me. I've totally been in that same place as you. But there have been times where I've called out, and He's rescued me, and God's been real in my life, so I got nowhere else to go. There are things in my life I don't have answers. I don't know why God doesn't do this, but I got nowhere else to go. Nowhere else that I found life. Nowhere else that I know. So I got no options. And He's like, well, you got this, and He holds up the spear. And I was like, no, I don't have that. I don't want where that ends up. And I didn't push on it, but I could tell He knew that my life and His life was a really stark contrast right there. Someone who had gone to Jesus, someone who had chose to alcohol. Anyway, I didn't need to tell you all these details at the point of my sermon, but yeah, I did. So anyway, at the end of the conversation, he was like, oh, okay, this part also doesn't matter, but it's so cool, so I just gotta tell it to you. He was like, man, pure fiction, man, how can you believe this stuff? Just straight up, pure fiction. And I was like, okay, just get this, dude. Just get this. Let me tell you a story. And then I told him the Thailand story, which I told you guys a million times, you know, about, like, God telling me money away, and it was the exact time that person needed the money, but I wanted to spend the money on this, and then someone gave me that completely free, and it was, like, thousands of dollars worth of stuff. It was all miraculous. So I'm telling him the story, and he's like, stop, what are you even saying? What are you saying to me? What are you saying to me right now? He's just saying that. And I was like, you know, you can do whatever you want with this, but this happened to me. So you can tell me that's not real, you can tell me all this is fiction, but this happened to me. So what am I supposed to do with that, huh? And like the most logical thing for me is to believe it. He's like, all right, man, whatever, yeah. I mean, I can't say anything, you know, whatever. So finally, at the end of our conversation, he was like, all right, man, it's been good talking with you, but I want to put headphones in and just chill for a while, okay? All right, cool, man, yeah, cool. And then he was like, why did you have to sit next to me? Why did you have to sit next to me? He's like, I haven't had a conversation this deep in a really long time. I haven't had, like, a deep conversation like this in a really long time. So we left, and I have no idea what happened with him. Pray for Samuel, if you think of it. So, Sam, right? Yeah. So then, 2 weeks later, or a week and a half later, me and Katie go out on our honeymoon. Not honeymoon. 5-year anniversary. Same thing, right? And then we went out, and we go up with our guy, and our guy is going up the hill, and, you know, it's Katie. So Katie's talking with him, and Katie starts talking about, you know, deep stuff, of course, because you know Katie, she doesn't know how to talk about anything that's not deep. And so she's just talking, and they start talking about, like, Trump, and they start talking about religion, and he's like, oh, no, us rock climbing guys, we have a rule, no religion and no politics. And Katie's like, what? Well, you're the guy, you can't talk about it, but I'm the guest, so I can talk about whatever I want, right? And so he was like, well, you know, we just started talking, and he kind of tried to jump away from the topic of God, and we kept bringing it back, and we had this really amazing conversation with him, and it was funny, he kind of kept dodging it, and then at the very end, when we were hiking out, he was like, all right, day's over, we can talk about it now. Boom! Started talking about stuff, it was really funny, and he said, okay, here's just what I believe. You should never impose your beliefs on anybody else. You should never impose your beliefs on anyone. You can have your own beliefs, just don't impose your beliefs on anybody else. So me and Katie were like, well, that belief right there, the belief that you should not impose yourself, impose your belief, do you think that belief should be imposed on people? Right? Should if someone is like Muslim and they're like, you have to be Muslim or I will kill you, should you stop him? Should you stop me from doing that to her? Because that's imposing your belief on her. Right? But he stopped, like, we're walking down the trail, and he, like, stops in the middle of the road, and, like, we're, like, walking down, and I'm like, oh, okay. We just stood there and listened to him because we couldn't walk. And we had this great conversation, and at the end of the conversation, he's like, do you guys always have conversations like this? And we were like, yeah, actually we do. Actually, it's like kind of our life. We just have conversations like this. And he said this, I bet your Christian friends don't agree with you. So it's funny, because we were talking about, because basically, anyway, I can tell you later why he said that. But I guess this is my point. Why were they so surprised? Why were these two people, after meeting us and talking to us, why were they so surprised that we talked about this? Why? Because 95% or 98% of all the conversations that ever happen in the entire world are about things that don't actually matter. You ever think about that? Like, think about it. You go to school, how many of the conversations that you have are actually, like, about things that matter? Right? You talk about homework, you talk about friends, you talk about fashion, you talk about movies, you talk about stuff that's not going to matter 5 minutes from now or a year from now, right? But how often do you talk about the things that really matter? How much time do we spend on the things that are last, on the things that are eternal, the things that really matter in life? And not just talk, but think. So this is the point of my talk today, is we need to, as the Bible says, get your mind ready for battle, right? As the Bible says, set our minds. Choose to put our minds on the things that matter. Set your minds on things above, not on things of earth. We have to make a decision as Christians to say, my mind is going to be obsessed and think about things that matter, not the things that don't. Now, I'm not saying you can't talk about basketball, you can't talk about sports. I'm not saying that. I love talking about these things. I love rock climbing, I love jumping around, I love whatever. But what I'm saying is, what is the obsession of your mind? Where's your wavelength of thinking? Is it this shallow, trivial stuff, or is it a higher thing? Shallow things. God wants us to set our minds on things above, not on the things we serve. And where you set your mind matters. I was listening to this podcast, maybe I told you guys something about it, about free throws. The most fascinating podcast I've ever heard about free throws. And there's this dude named Ted St. Martin. He is a dairy farmer in America. And he has the Guinness World Record for the most free throws made without missing. That can be the most amount of free throws. Take a guess how many. 72. Free throw. You know in basketball, the little line where you stand and you're like, right? You know, nobody blocking you. Or if you're Dennis Rodman, you'd be like, you know, or if you're Shaq, you'd be like, right? So what do you think the record is? World record for the most made in a row without missing.
72.
72. 1,200. And it comes in 2001. 200. 2,000. 2,000? 2,000 free throws in a row? It's the floor. You hit 2,000 free throws. Like, that's all missing. Just constantly. One, seven. That would take, like, what? 3 hours, right? Okay, what do you got? 678? Okay. Okay, here's the guess. Here's the actual number. 5,221 free throws. It took the dude 7 hours. He was at a basketball camp, just like teaching, and they were like, hey, you just trying to break your record. His record was like, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000. And he said, okay. And he's 73 years old. And he just like goes up and he's like, still hasn't finished. Well, okay. People, you know, come back 3 hours later. Nope, still haven't missed. 7 hours. 5,221 free throws. Can you imagine when he lost? He's just like, oh my gosh! Right? But like, he missed. And then, so that's the record. That's the record. You ask him, how do you do it? How do you do it? His answer is really funny. They're like, what's your secret? He said, my secret is being a dairy farmer. He actually says this. He says, the secret is the mental endurance I learned from being a dairy farmer. He says the free throw is 10% mechanics and 90% completely mental. And actually, this is reinforced by the dude who's kind of the free throw doctor for the NBA. He's the dude who goes around the NBA and works with people who are bad at free throws. This dude, he was training Shaquille O'Neal, who's famous for being horrible at free throws, right? And Shaquille O'Neal was actually shooting pretty bad free throws when the coach was watching. So he put a blindfold on Shaquille O'Neal. And Shaquille O'Neal started shooting better with a blindfold because he couldn't see the coach watching him. You see this? How you think affects how you act, right? So much of what we do comes from how we think. If you think here, you're going to act here. If you think about the things above, eternal things, then you're going to act with an eternal purpose. Does this make sense? You guys where I'm going with this? Okay, so one of my favorite stories that from one of my friends who was in youth group. There's this girl, and this is the point, is what you think, the things you put into your mind will change the way that you act. So she was really frustrated with her guy girlfriend. She really felt like, man, none of my guy friends want to be a real deep friend with me. Like, they all just want to keep it at this level, and none of them want to go to this level. And she's super frustrated by that, frustrated with her friends, felt like, oh, no guys are willing to be good friends with me. Then she's talking to her mentor, and she's watching the show Grey's Anatomy. You guys love that show, maybe. And the mentor was like, that show is trash. Stop watching it. So she did. And it was funny, because when she stopped watching that show, she suddenly became more content with her guy-girl relationships. She's like, wow, that's weird. She thought about it, and she realized, in this show, these guys and girls always have these super deep friendships, and they never turned romantic. They never got complicated. They never, you know, like, oh, does he like me? Does he not? Oh, that girl. Never turned like that. It was always simple and easy and whatever. Right? And what she realized after she stopped watching the show was, hey, those guys in her life, they were loving her. Right? They were being good friends by keeping it at a certain level, not going to a level that would only be appropriate for romance. Right? But because she was watching this show and thinking in these terms, then the way she saw the world changed. Does that make sense? The way you think changes the way you act and the way you see the world. Okay? I think sometimes we think about our mind like as if it's a thermometer, right? Like, temperature goes up, thermometer goes up. Temperature goes down, thermometer goes down. But the mind is not just a receiver. The mind is a tool. And we have a decision about what we're going to do with it. Some people are like, oh, I just can't stop thinking about her. Yes, you can. Right? Oh, I just can't stop thinking about this. Yes, you can. Your mind is a tool that God has given you, and you make a decision about what you're going to do with it. Yes, it is true that sometimes you're like, but you can, every single time, right? You know what I'm saying? You have a decision that you're going to make with your mind. It's a tool that God has given you.
and you need to decide. Sometimes it's going to be really hard. Sometimes it's really difficult to set your mind on things involving God on this earth. It's really hard to choose what you're going to think about. But we do that because we want to honor God, and because the way we think affects the way we see the world, and the way we think affects what we do. Does that make sense? Everybody who's ever been good at something, they learn to think about that. Right? Nobody who's world-class at anything doesn't think as a world-class athlete, or think as a world-class coach, or think as a world-class writer. You know what I'm saying? You got to learn to think that way if that's who you want to become. That's what you
want to do.
Pull a Bible on your phone, or if you guys got yours, and flip to Romans 8. I'm going to read it. Sorry, we're running a little late, so I'm going to just go ahead and read it. But get there, Romans 8, verse 1. Look at this. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, so what is God saying there? He's saying, hey, like, God sent Jesus to forgive you of all your sins and to make you a brand new person, right? The gospel. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You remember we were talking about the gospel, the sexuality, the gospel. That's what he's saying. Gospel. Good news. Jesus came to save you, right? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, right? But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So if you want to live fleshly, worldly, then set your minds on flesh, the world. When the Bible says the flesh, it means like all those like kind of like desires and stuff that you just kind of like automatically have that are wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like all those temptations and stuff that you're like, whoa, I just want this, right? If you set your mind on those things, which is what like most media is, right? Right? Because it's feeding off of that. But if you set your mind on those things, you're going to end up with those things. But if you set your mind on the Spirit, you're going to live by the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh, the end of that is death. But to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For a mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It means like at war with God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you set your mind on the flesh, you can't please God. This is why it's kind of silly if you're like, your mind, the things you think about are all fleshly things, right? If you don't set your mind on things of God, you set your mind on things of this world, and then you're like, oh, I'm so frustrated. Why can't I do the right thing? I always end up in sin. I always end up doing the wrong thing. Well, what are you setting your mind on? Right? What are you setting your mind on? If you are filling your mind with lustful images, and then you're surprised when you feel lust, you're kind of being silly. You know what I'm saying? Right? If you are filling your time and mind with things you don't have but wish you had, and then you're feeling incontentment, right? You're feeling greed, why are you so surprised? Because to set your mind on the flesh, then you're like, that. But if you want to set your mind on the Spirit, then you'll end up with Christ. Does this make sense? Yes? No? Yes? Okay. I want to make sure it makes sense. Okay. So, if you set your mind on the flesh, you get life, you get peace. What does the Bible say? The fruit of the Spirit. So, set your mind on the Spirit, you get the fruit of the Spirit, right? Fruit just kind of pops out if you're plugged in, right? So, what would be the fruit of thinking, setting your mind on God? Okay, the fruit of the Spirit, anybody?
Love,
joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? Right? So you can set your mind on the things you naturally would, the things of the flesh, and you'll end up with death. That sounds great, right? Or you can set your mind on the things of the Spirit, and you end up with love and joy and peace, and patience and all this other awesome stuff, right? So that's the choice we have.
Okay,
so we need to make a decision about what we're going to think about. Let's look at 1 Peter,
chapter 1. So I'm going to read 10 through 16.
1 Peter 1, 10 through 16 says this. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving themselves, not themselves, but you, in the things that they have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels long to love. So he's talking about the gospel. He's saying, like, hey, this is really good news that God is saving him, right? Therefore, because you have this good news that God is saving, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Right? Prepare your minds for action. Don't just be like, woo, don't have like a jelly mind. Like, just kind of like, go low. But instead, dress up your mind for action. Right? Get ready for battle. Be sober-minded. Right? You ever, like, you guys ever seen a drunk person? Okay? A drunk person is like, you know, right? You just kind of go with the flow. Just kind of like, so nice, right? What's the opposite of drunk? Sober. Discipline. Be sober-minded. Yeah, and you have to you say you saw a drunk person.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That, well, maybe not cool, but cool.
Yeah. So, all right. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct.
So don't give in to kind of like the just, jelly of where all your desires and emotions go. But instead, set your minds up for action. Get ready, be disciplined, and follow the Lord. Okay?
We can't expect to live lives ordered in God's ways if we have a jelly, undisciplined mind, thought, right?
You can't expect, think about this, think, I'm going to say something that will probably not blow your mind, but you should think about it, maybe it will, okay? You can't expect a mind that is fed by sports and celebrities and social media and ads on the subway and TV shows and movies. You can't expect a mind that's the diet. That's what it eats. Right? To do battle against depression, against lust, against disunity, against bitterness. These demons are too strong. And if you're feeding your brain, you're feeding your mind with this kind of just like junk food, you can't expect to win in battle. Does this make sense what I'm saying? If you set your mind on the things of this world, of this flesh, just that kind of like what just feels good and is like easy, you can't expect to be able to fight demons. And if you have battles in your life that you feel like, man, I don't have victory over them right now. You know, if you feel like you're getting whipped around by the devil right now in any way of your life, whether it be discouragement, or lust, or fear, or relationship problems, or whatever, I want to encourage you to change the diet of your mind. To set your mind on spiritual things. To stop listening to, like, when you're on the subway and you got nothing to do, stop just filling it with news about celebrities or songs about how wooey-wooey you feel, but start filling it with truth from the Word of God. Start filling it with truth from time in prayer, from worship, right? Start filling it with the things from above, and then you'll have the weapons to fight against these spiritual things. You guys see what I'm saying here? It's so important that we learn to gird up our minds for action, to be ready for battle by setting our minds on things above and not on the things of this world. Okay, the last one here is actually this thing I keep saying, Colossians 3. So, Ephesians, Colossians chapter 3.
verse 1. It says this: if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So he's saying, you, when you belong to Jesus, our new person, you belong in heaven. Heaven is your home. So think about heavenly things. Right? Obsess over those things. Don't obsess over the things on this earth. Philippians 3, there's this cool passage where Paul is talking about people who don't know God. They're pretending to know God, but they don't actually know God. And there's like these people, they're obsessed with like food, with like how people look. They're obsessed with all these things in the world. But they set their mind on earthly things, but not us. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is from Philippians 3. It says, the earthly people, they set their mind on earthly things, but not us. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, let's say I'm the ambassador for America to China, right? Right, so let's say I'm that ambassador, okay? If I'm here, right, I represent America. In the Word of God, it says that each of us are Christ's ambassador. We are ambassadors of the country and kingdom of heaven. So God is sending us, using us on this earth as his ambassadors, right? Now, what if I were the American ambassador to China, right? And I came to China, and I totally stopped listening to American news. I just stopped eating American food. I, like, stopped looking at American politics. I just watched Chinese TV shows. I just, like, hung out with Chinese people. I had no American friends. You know, I just went totally local. Right? Like, you saw me, and I look like a white Chinese person, right? Okay? You know, like, and I stopped speaking English, and I just went fully Chinese. Would I be able to represent America well?
No.
I mean, there's nothing wrong if I'm not an ambassador, I want to do that, great, you know, I'm America, whatever, right? But if I want to represent my country well, I need to know what's going on in my country. I need to know the news from America. I need to know the American culture. I need to get the cultural idioms in my culture. I should keep celebrating my country's holidays, even though they don't celebrate them in this country. Right? I should keep the traditions going. I should teach my children the values of my home country, not of the one I live in. Does this make sense? Now, we need to do the same thing. If we are citizens of heaven, and we need to set our minds on the things of heaven, even when we live on earth. If we set our minds on the things of this earth, we will become part of heaven. Right? Does this make sense what I'm saying? Yeah? Okay. So, any kind of closing, I'm going to kind of wrap this up here. What does this mean super practically? Right? Like, you're like, okay, Kenny, I'm all in, I get what you're saying, I want to live for Jesus, I want to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, I don't want death, you know? So I want to set my mind on things above. What does that mean? Does that mean I just walk around like, Jesus, heaven, heaven, Jesus, heaven? Is that what it means? Does it mean I can never, ever talk about Pokemon again, ever? What does it mean? Well, I think this means that our life, in summary, like, this is a big picture. Our life needs to be, like, so soaked in God that it just kind of, like, sloshes out of you. Does that make sense? Like it just kind of sloshes out of you, and that, like, the first way that you think about something is from God's perspective. Right? The first, like, perspective that you look at something is from God's perspective. And so the question is not just what's most logical, but what does God say about this, right? So I think there's a lot of ways that we have lost this in our life, but here's a couple of them. Number one, how, like, I started this whole thing of what conversations I have with people, right? What are your conversations like? Are 99.9999% of your conversations about climbing, movies, sports, homework, right? Or is more of your conversations about things that matter?
about God, about your relationship with Him, about what you're reading in the Bible, about what it means to love somebody, what it means to reach others who are hurting, right? I think especially, yeah, of course, with non-Christians like me and Katie and these people, right, start to get them thinking about having deeper issues and have these conversations, yes. But within the church, shouldn't we have these conversations all the time? Like, within youth group, shouldn't we, like, go to dinner afterwards and have these sort of conversations all the time? I mean, it's kind of sad if I came to youth group for 6 months and never had a conversation about Jesus, right? That'd be sad. But that's kind of possible, right? I mean, I've definitely gone to, like, dinner for, like, say, a month and never talked about anything that was really mattered. Right? Haven't we all done that? Right? And I'm not saying every single conversation you have has to, like, blow your brain out of the water. But I'm saying, do you have any of these conversations? Because if we want to set our minds on things above, then we should cultivate a community where we push each other to think about these things. Right? So it's really easy. You're kind of like, well, that's so hard. It's just really easy. Let me give you a tip. Walk up to your friend. Say, hi, friend. How's it going? Doing good? Cool, man. What is God teaching you? Boom! Right? Have you been reading your Bible at all within the last 5 years? Oh, yes, you have. What is something you read that you learned? Right? Or, yo, bro, have you heard any messages lately at church or from that weird guy at store named Kenny who's like super old? And what was the message last week about? Oh, what did he say? Did you agree? Did you think that was funky? He's so weird. Yeah, I don't like his clothes either, right? Or whatever. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, just have these conversations. Or, hey, like, you know, like, I have this question. I read the Bible. It says this. I don't get that. 1 Timothy 3:17 says, women shall be saved through childbearing. What the heck? Can you explain that verse to me? Look at that. Let's look at that verse together. What do you think this is talking about, right? We can have these conversations. It's not that hard. It's a little awkward in the beginning. Why? Because we're so stuck setting our mind on stupid stuff. But we can totally set our minds as a community on things that matter. So I want to encourage you, in your family, maybe this is super weird for you, but if your family's a Christian, hey, have these conversations with your siblings, with your parents, right? Let's pursue God together. Let's set our minds on things above, not on the things of this earth, together. Right? So, number two, how can you do this? Well, how do you use your free time? Maybe you're like me, you like to play Clash Royale, you know? Yeah. Maybe you like to swap through Instagram and look at fashion people or whatever. Or, I don't know, pictures. Maybe you like to go on social media. Maybe you, whatever, I don't know, whatever it is for you, maybe you like to post selfies of yourself and get lots of likes, right? Like, whatever it is, how do you spend your free time? Let me encourage you to fill your brain during those times with things that are higher. So something that I do, which is super practical, is often when I'm on the subway, I'll listen to podcasts. So if you need some good podcasts to listen to, go to the podcast app, on your iPhone, or if you have Android, download Podcast Addict and search Tim Keller. If you've ever heard of him, he is a straight up genius who will make your brain bleed. It is amazing. Go listen to some of his stuff. This is Francis Chan. If you haven't heard Francis Chan, he is amazing. He will like make you think about the things of God in ways you probably never thought about before. You can look up Cornerstone Chapel, which is my home church back in D.C., and Pastor Gary Hammer, who's an amazing preacher. You can look up,
you can look up John Piper, who's another great dude.
You can look up, anyway, I can hit you guys up with even more of these things. Another app, I wrote about this in the email, there's an app called Read Scripture App, which is like a Bible reading plan. But then it's also got these sweet videos that like kind of explain the Bible big picture, and it's like super awesome. Use your free time to fill your brain with the truth, right? With things above. And I'll tell you something. When you start soaking your brain in Scripture, when you run into problems in your life, the Scripture for that just pops on top of it. It's really cool. You're just like reading the scripture. You're just in scripture every day, and then you run into an issue, and you're like, man, what do I do here? Boom! The Holy Spirit takes what you put in, and boom! You're like, oh, yeah, that's what scripture has to say about this issue. And you learn to think by the Spirit, right? And not by the flesh.
So soak your brain. Use your free time to soak your brain. Set your mind on the things above. And the last thing is this, is just kind of this idea of, so there's this dude, his name is Brother Lawrence, he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God, which, if you're looking for a good book to read, totally recommend it. Really thought-provoking book. This dude is a monk, and his job was to wash dishes. So he was a dishwasher. But everybody was like, dude, this guy has had a crazy relationship with God. He just kind of like glowed with God. And so people were like, what is up with you? And he's like, I make it my aim to never leave the presence of God. To always be consciously aware that God is with me. And so he was whole day, you know, just chatting with God, talking to him. And he says, anytime something comes up, like a sin or a worry or something else that wants to take me out of God's presence, I just repent of the sin or whatever, put it aside, and get back in God's presence. And I think there's this kind of idea of like walking through your day, you're like, man, I'm so bummed that girl that I really liked and prayed about asking out for 3 years just told me she doesn't like me. Like, God, like, that stinks. I really feel bad. Man, would you just, like, show me? You know what I mean? And it's not like I feel bad about this. But let's allocate 15 minutes of my time. Let's do my prayer calls. Let's pray. But instead, just as you're walking in your day, you just kind of, like, are with God. And you're just talking to him. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? For me, too, sometimes when I'm out and I have headphones, I pop in worship music. Well, I'm just, like, going around doing stuff, but the worship is there. I'm filling my brain with truth. I'm, like, in communion with God as I'm doing my life. Does that make sense? And also, something I do on other times is sometimes someone will say, hey, I got this thing going up, would you pray for me? Or I'll put things in my schedule, I'll put in a reminder on my phone, hey, pray at this time. And then a lot of times they'll come up and be like, oh, yeah, I got 4 WeChats. I'll answer those WeChats and then I'll pray, you know? But if you can learn to set those sort of reminders and when they pop up, make a decision to pray. Make a decision in those moments to set your mind on things above, not on those things to say. I'm telling you guys, set your mind on the flesh means death. But to set your mind on the spirit means life and peace in Jesus. If you want to live a life that is pleasing to God, that is all the good things that God has for you, like love and joy and peace, and all the good plans that God has for your life, then we've got to learn to gird our minds up for action, get our minds ready, disciplined and ready for action, and set them on the things of God rather than the things in this world that don't matter. And if you notice from all these things I read, what's the motivation? Why do we do this? The right before each of these verses says the same thing. It's like God saved you. He set you apart. He sent his son to die for you. He forgave you of all your sins, lifted you up out of the dirt, and set you in authority on thrones with God, right? In heavenly places with God. Now you're up there with him. So, stop playing in the dirt. Set your mind on the things that matter. Because you've been raised to life. Right? So, I guess this is my plea to you guys. Let's do this, yeah? Let's change how we think. Let's make a decision to set our minds on the things above. And you may go and you may have a conversation at dinner about a movie. That's totally fine, guys. I'm not like trying to condemn you. But I want us to learn to do this more. And maybe even at dinner tonight we can practice this. Right? Maybe we can be intentional about this tonight. It's not just after those conversations. But conversations about things like that. About what God's teaching us. What we're struggling with. Right? About things we need answers on. And maybe God will teach us how to live as we actually think about him rather than things about him. Let's pray. Jesus, we know. First off, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross. God, before you came and saved us, we were slaves to sin. We had no option but to think about things that led to death. But your Holy Spirit has come and you've given us life. You've taken these dead people and made them alive. And now you've renewed our mind, the Bible says. You've like made our mind come to life, and now we can choose, because of your Holy Spirit, to set our minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth.
God, we want to be obsessed with the things that matter, not obsessed with the things that don't matter. Lord Jesus, would you please teach us? Teach us, Lord, how to set our minds on the things above, not on the things that serve. And God, I know it's worth it. I know that, like, you know, the time pops up, you pop off the phone, and you see the game, and you want to play that instead of, you know, reading the Bible, like you took your phone out for, or whatever. But God, would you just teach us? And God, even when we fail, would you help us to get back up and learn to be people with minds who are ready for action, meditating on the things of God, and not just on trivial things that don't matter. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I really want to share that small group, but we're so late. Have these deep conversations before dinner. Or if you're going home, go talk to your parents about it, or your siblings, or whoever you're hanging out. Alright?